This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. My name is Scott Whatley. We are glad you are with us. Hope everyone is looking forward to a great weekend, beautiful day here in the Mile High City. And we're going to kick off today's show with our good friend Scott Hinkey from On-Site Consulting. His business is located at 6446 East Hamden Avenue here in Denver. Their number is 720-482-8383. Scott, good to see you again. It's been a few weeks.
It is. Glad to see you too.
All right. So let's, before we get into some things about your business a little bit, let's kind of talk about some things that you're currently seeing. Before we came on air here, you were talking about scams are as prevalent as ever.
Well, I would say three times more than they were before COVID. I think we're all exhausted. We're going to believe whatever anybody puts in front of us, like not just in the media, but I mean like, hey, there's a pop-up on my computer that says I need to do something, like renew my antivirus program. People do this all the time. And the pop-up says to renew it, but I don't have this. So how can I renew it? I says, well, that's because the first thing was a scam. You know, so you'll see that a lot. It's McAfee and Norton. For some reason, those are popping up a lot on people's screens when they get spyware saying you need to renew your Norton for, and it's some astronomical amount, like $300 a year. And Norton's only about $75 a year at the most.
Okay.
Okay, so you get something really big like $300, that doesn't make any sense. But people click on it and then they go ahead and pay it. They don't even have Norton, but they've given a stranger their credit card number. Mm-hmm. And then people come say, and they'll say, well, you don't really think I have to worry about it, do you? I said, yes, you just gave somebody your credit card number.
Right.
They could take all of your money, every dime out of your credit card. And you're going to be dealing with that, you know, repercussions of identity theft for months to come. So got to cancel your credit card, change your password for your bank, things like that. People come in once a day to our shop. Now, we help like 12,000 homes and businesses in Colorado, an enormous amount. So of that number, about one person per day comes in with an infected computer because they let somebody remote in there. I'll just tell you this. Don't ever trust anybody unless you know them. You could trust your grandson, your neighbor down the street, and our company and something like that. But don't trust if somebody says they're from Amazon, says they're from Apple. Why is Apple remoting into your PC for free? Mm-hmm. Okay, to fix it. That doesn't even make any sense. You just got to take it easy when somebody volunteers to remote into your computer for free.
Now, you mentioned credit card. Let me talk about, should we most of the time use an actual credit card instead of a debit card when we do things because of what you said? Because, hey, a credit card, yeah, they can run up, but you can dispute that, whatever, and it may cause you some hassle. But a debit card, son, they can drain it.
Right, because a debit card, you know, by definition, it just takes it straight out of your account. And I think it's instantaneous. Like, the second you push the button, it's out of your checking account. So it's almost impossible to get back. Credit card, you know, you've got a little bit of dispute you could do through your Visa company and things like that. I had a purchase I did from some complete stranger I was really suspicious about. And I was so concerned. I don't even want to give him my credit card because it just looked a little fishy. But this company actually took PayPal. And PayPal is yet another kind of a protection. They have this buyer's protection program. So I went through PayPal, which used my credit card to make the transaction. So it was like two different remedies I had in case it wasn't a real person.
Okay, great. Once again, it's On-Site Consulting. Their number is 720-482-8383. And Scott Hinkey, the owner, is with us. All right, now, computers. A lot of people wanting to buy some and all, and they may go to some of the stores and all that, and you actually work with some local stores, I know. But you have a great selection of some used PCs for folks, and we've been talking about seniors that you can help out and all that, but you sell some used ones that are all ready to go.
Right. I mean, you can't go wrong with the new computer if you want to spend a lot of money and have the smell of the new computer, just like a new car smell, you know. Personally, I have never bought a new car because it costs a lot of money, and I'd rather go for a one-year-old used car, right? Same thing with computers. You could buy a three-year-old computer at half the price of a brand-new computer. And at our place, we'll replace the hard drive. That's primarily the problem that goes wrong with every computer is the hard drive. That's the moving part in the computer that spins around, holds all your data. And when you hear of a computer crash, that's what you lose is all the data, all the programs and resume and photos and stuff like that off of your hard drive. So we replaced that with a brand new drive, with a high-speed drive. So, you know, it's almost like getting a brand new computer for half the price. Sometimes it's a third of the price of being in a store. We just got a couple shipment in of computers for $175, and these computers are like 4 years old.
Wow. Okay. Now, you guys help, too, with all the transfer, and you're one of the best at this, I think, of helping people transfer over from an old computer.
Right. That's the thing that nobody likes is change, right? What is it, the saying, the only thing that likes change is a baby? Everybody else hates being changed. And you go from any computer to any other computer, all the stuff's in a different place. Oh, my gosh, they're moving my shortcuts, and now my toolbar, I customized, so I wanted it just the way I have it, and now it's not there anymore. And like all your passwords, you know, you have to re-enter every password. We actually have two different ways to move everything from one computer to the other computer, to where it's virtually imperceptible that you bought a new computer. All the icons are in the same place, the favorites are in the same place, your passwords are still there. Like, you don't have to re-register your programs. Let's say you registered, Adobe or something like that years ago. We could move it and the registration so it still works on the new computer. So when you get it, everything's in the same place as before. One thing I don't like, just to go on this tangent, Windows 11 is said they're coming out. And the weird thing that they're doing that I highly don't agree with is they're moving the toolbar that used to be on the bottom left. You know, you click the button and you go to shut down and all that stuff. They're moving it to the middle of the screen. Wow. Microsoft just does things. I don't have a clue of why it would now be in the middle, because now I have to tell people, go to the middle of the screen and click the button on the left to shut down your computer. You know, they just like to move things around. So we try to keep everything exactly the way it was. When you get your transfer back, your computer is going to go, you know, 10, 20 times faster than it was before, and all your stuff's where the stuff was before.
Wow, crazy. Passwords. Let's hit that real quick. Okay. Is that one of the biggest problems, people forgetting passwords?
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest problem is people who swear they don't have a password. People tell this all the time. Well, I just click on the AOL and it goes right in. I said, I know, but you have a password. You have to tell us what it is. I don't have a password. Well, yes, you do. Otherwise, everybody on the planet would be checking your mail for you. Nope, don't have a password. And we have people, there's a saying from Stephen Hawking that says, it's not that the scariest thing isn't somebody who doesn't know what's going on. It's people who think they know what's going on. Mm-hmm. All right. And I've had people who swear wireless mice don't have batteries in it. Okay. So, well, how does a little red light come out of your mouse? So it's really people just forget what their passwords are.
Right.
And they say, well, can you just reset it? And I says, well, not unless you have your password. Well, that was 20 years ago. I know. I still don't know what your password is. And they give me the history of not typing in a password. I said, you need to call your nephew from 20 years ago and ask him, where did he write down your password? So please write it down somewhere. And especially in our times, you know, we're never sure how long God's going to have us on this earth. And write your passwords down and let a loved one know where they are. I have a password keeper. It's a thing called LastPass, and it keeps track of all your passwords. And I have one master password that gets you into there. It's like 20 digits long. And I have that in my safe at home. So if something happens, my wife and my business and stuff like that can still continue because they will have my 250 passwords saved in that program. So, and unfortunately, we've had to help people whose relatives have passed away, and we've got to break into their computer and try to use some secret ways to get their password just to send an obituary out for that person, right? So please write it down somewhere. Don't write it down underneath your mouse pad because that's where everybody puts it. But put it in a safe or something like that for your loved ones.
Right. And what are the most common passwords that people just think of automatically? Their birthdays or their address, things like that?
It's usually Broncos. In Colorado, it's Broncos. I could name some clients right now whose password is Broncos. I hate passwords is a password that people use a lot. I hate Microsoft is another password. But, you got to make it something that's not in the dictionary. Okay, so stick some numbers in there. So even if you put I hate Microsoft, make the O a zero, you know, and the A could be an at sign. Make it something that isn't in the dictionary, and you have a lot less chance of getting broken into.
All right, cool. Well, you guys just received a great award. Tell us about that.
We did. I couldn't even believe it. I mean, they approached us. They said, hey, you've been nominated for the Colorado Best of Colorado Awards. They have these every year in Colorado, and it's in the magazines and stuff like that. It was Colorado Biz Magazine. And they came to us and said, hey, you've been nominated. I said, oh, okay. And then 6 months later, they did surveys around the city, and people would fill in, you know, their top computer company, and we were one of the top three in Colorado, which is a pretty big honor. 20 years ago, I was in my basement, right? People were coming to my basement to get stuff fixed, and now we've got a, you know, 4,500 square foot storefront and 13 employees and doing our best. But making that jump to being one of the top three in Colorado was a great honor.
Man, no doubt. So 39 years you've been doing this.
Yes. So that means 19 years in my basement, 20 years in a storefront. But, yeah, I started this long time ago. I was just thinking back that when I first started, we had to dial up the internet physically with a finger in a rotary phone. Mm-hmm. Remember, most of the people listening may not even know what a rotary phone is. You put your finger in it and you got to twist it to dial a phone number. And that's how we had to dial into this real estate computer and download data and stuff like that. But we've seen just about everything. I have an awesome, phenomenally awesome staff that knows way more than they should about everything, everything. So we love to help people. That's the thing about it. Most everybody at our company are non-geeky guys. We try to keep that motto, non-geeky guys who know how to communicate with people. That's what we try to work for.
Once again, the number is 720-482-8383, and it's on-site consulting. So are you getting more into people's homes, or what is – you can remote in, and we'll get into that here a little bit, and well, we discourage letting anyone, as you clarified, you don't know, but it is something then for the ease of the customer that you guys can remote in. But you see, are more people wanting you to come to their home now, or is it still people love the remote in access?
Most people love it because people don't like to carry in computers. We help a lot of seniors. Not that they can't carry a computer, but they say, I don't want to carry in my 30-pound computer and unplug all these wires and plug them all back in. So we could do a lot of stuff remotely. In fact, we've got three technicians working remotely all through COVID. They've been at their house. We have such a reputation with all of our business clients that they know, yeah, just remote in. And we know we can fix things remotely. You know, printers are a little bit hard because the printer is basically a computer, and we have to hook it to the internet. So sometimes we have to go to people's houses for printer issues. But basically for 100% of other things, 99% of other things, we could just remote in there. But again, don't let anybody remote in your computer. I don't care if they say they're Bill Gates or the mayor of Denver. Think about it. Why would Bill Gates call you? Right? You just got to think these things through. And why is Bill Gates charging me $300?
Right.
Why would he do that?
Sure. You mentioned seniors. Let's talk about that a minute. You know, there's a lot of people that maybe want to help get their senior parents or grandparents maybe on an iPad or a computer during this COVID time. What are kind of the basics that you say, hey, you can come get a computer from us for a few hundred dollars or whatever, and we can set you up with just a few of the basics. So what would you consider some of the basics that could help someone maybe communicate with their family better?
Yeah, I teach a lot of classes. I used to teach more in person for seniors through the place called Academy of Lifelong Learning, which is in Denver. But nationally, even for your listeners, I know you're all over the country, there's a place called Senior Planet. So I encourage your people to go to seniorplanet.com or .org, can't remember, but it's free classes for seniors, so they get a lot of the taste of it. But seniors don't need the same things that we need. I'm just trying to say that a lot of times younger people push the thing that the senior needs onto the seniors. Right. Seniors do not need Quicken. If they're using their checkbook that they've had for years on paper and done it that way, then let them do that. Yeah. Don't push them into using Quicken or QuickBooks or let's set up a spreadsheet so you can keep track of all your budget. Mom doesn't want to do that.
Right.
She's got a little scrap of paper she keeps her budget on. Right. So don't push them into something they don't want. But man, I would get them on the internet, of course, for email. Okay. Right. That's kind of a common thing is getting email. And their bank. So you want to teach them a little bit about that because you have to be careful. That's opening up a Pandora's box. If she has a Chase account and somebody calls and says they're from Chase, she might think, this is really them. They should remote into my computer. But I tell them to get their bank or on their smartphone so they could just see what their balance is to make sure they're not being overcharged for things and things like that. And I would really recommend Facebook. Now, I don't really care about Facebook, yet I'm on it all the time now, because I don't care what you ate for breakfast. I don't care that you made a shelf. I don't care that you swept your backyard. It's just kind of silly what some people post on Facebook. But for seniors, you get exposure to your kids and your grandkids all over the country on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Look, Mary made breakfast. She's interested that her grandkid makes breakfast.
Sure.
You know, so Facebook's an important thing for seniors, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about, you know, we'll take our home computers right now since a lot of people are home. First of all, are most people using laptops from home or are most people using kind of the bigger ones that we used to all have?
It's completely up to the person. You know, I tried to run my business off a laptop one time, and then I got tired. it's like, oh my gosh, my neck hurts and my hands are kind of cramped up and stuff like that. So I use a desktop everywhere. Okay, I don't use a laptop. But I really think that it's up to the person. If you want to use a laptop to move around the house, I would get both. You know,
okay.
With our refurbished computers, you could afford to have two computers around the house.
Sure, no doubt.
So I actually, in the middle of COVID, all my trips were canceled. So I bought a hot tub and I work in the hot tub. Okay. I drag my laptop out to the hot tub and I'm working at night in a hot tub with my laptop, which is paradise for me.
Cool.
And so I like doing that. But yep. In the house, you know, I want to sit in front of a computer. I've got three screens so it doesn't hurt my neck and I'm more relaxed sitting in there. But I have the versatility of using both of them. And nowadays, you know, you can get a computer for $200 at our place, a refurbished one with a warranty, and you get a laptop for $150 to $200.
Jeez.
Then you could have two, travel around. So either one, it's up to the person.
Okay, cool. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk about maybe when you should replace your home computer. Scott Hinkey is our guest. On-site consulting is the company. 6446 East Hamden, 720-482-8383.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loan to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
When it comes to customer service, D&D Tire takes it to the next level. Yes, you will receive great customer service from this family-owned company, but there is a difference when you add customer care. You see, at D&D Tire, they care about your safety and your car, and they understand mechanical problems, tire replacement, or flat tires never come at a convenient time. But at each of the D&D Tire locations, two in Aurora and one in Parker, you will find a courteous staff and technicians that have the knowledge and experience to take care of all of your automotive needs. Right now, buy four qualifying tires and rebates are up to $150 when using your Goodyear credit card, subject to credit approval. And terms and conditions apply. D&D Tire Service, your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. Check them out at dndtireservice.com.
This is Chris Kane with 303 Roofer. If you have an insurance claim on your roof and want to keep some of that money in your pocket, give us a call and we'll give you a cash bid to replace your roof. You pay insurance every month and now insurance has paid you. It's your money and we understand that. So give us a call at 303-390-1382 or visit our website, 303roofer.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, Scott Hinkey is our guest. On-site consulting, they are the folks we use for all of our computer needs. 6446 East Hamden, they've got a storefront right there at Hamden and I-25. OnsiteDenver.com. That's O-N-S-I-T-E Denver.com. All right, Scott, we were talking about home computers and all. So as far as people say, hey, when should I replace mine? I mean, I guess get you guys to check it out to make sure it needs replacing first, right?
Yeah, we don't really know. Some people replace their computers every 3 years. Like some people get a car every 3 years, which I can't understand. But yeah, if you want to buy a new brand new computer and spend $1,500 every 3 years, you're welcome to it. But I would suggest every about 5 years to do a big upgrade, like the hard drive and the memory and stuff like that. And then maybe after 8 years, replace the computer. So something like that. But, repairing a computer or upgrading it is so much cheaper, like 1/6 the price of replacing it. Plus, it's all in the same place. You know how people are used to not liking change. So they're on buttons in the same place and they're, you know, things like that. They just like the computer that fits in their cabinet in the right place. So I would say every maybe 4 to 5 years, get a good upgrade, and then 8 to 9 years, do a whole replacement. But if you haven't had a computer more than 3 years, you should definitely get these new solid state drives, even if it's 3 years old. Like, we bought a new computer, we built a new computer for one of our clients, and we put in a solid state drive right away. Spinning drives are super slow. People don't realize how slow drives are until you've seen what a high speed drive does. There's no moving parts, it's virtually instantaneous. But only about 40% of the computers in a store come with them right now because they're a little more expensive. But a little more is like $50. So we could replace your drive for like $80, but then we got to move everything over. But it's just like buying a new computer. It'd be 6 to 8 times faster just with this one $200 upgrade.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And people absolutely love it when they get it.
Okay. Now imagine when maybe you've flipped some stuff over, get them a new computer. People get frustrated pretty easy. Just like, oh my gosh, where's this? And you probably get a few calls early on, right?
Yeah, well, not when we do our big, our perfect transfer process, you know, that where everything's exactly in the same place.
Gotcha.
But we
okay.
have some people who came in. We had one lady with Vista this week. So Vista is 20 years old. Okay. And we moved her over to a Windows 10 computer. We've had people with XP. And when you go from XP, that's it. The further you go back, the harder the transition is. And last year, we had somebody with Windows 98. That's crazy. Okay, 25-year-old computer going to a Windows 10 computer. So anyway, it depends on how big that transition is there.
Mm-hmm. Now, we were talking about before we came on air a little bit, you know, PC and Mac. And boy, there's definitely two divisions. People either love their Macs or their PCs. But if maybe someone's thinking about, hey, I'm going to be changing now, working from home, whatever, and they're thinking about getting something new, I mean, what are the ups and downs of either one of those?
Well, if you're working from home, you might need to stick exactly what you have right now because the office may have the certain program or the certain thing and they connect better with PCs than with Macs. But if you're retired or you just want something to relax with around the house, Macs are the way to go. A lot less problems. The hardware, you know, is all designed by Mac. So it's not like outsourced to 10 different companies like a PC is. You know, PC has one person make the motherboard, the memory, the ports, the screen, the hard drive. Everybody, sure. 10 different people to make this computer. Mac makes the entire computer, so it's usually everything works. Okay, so like at my house, I've got a big Mac that's I think 10 or 11 years old that I use every single day. And it's 11 years old, and I don't care about the speed, but it's a Mac and it's beautiful. And I have it in my kitchen on the kitchen counter because Macs are beautiful. They're silver and there's not a lot of cords and stuff. So I have it right in the kitchen. Everybody sees it, but it's more like part of the house and it looks cool. You wouldn't put a PC in your kitchen. Okay. Yeah. Too many wires and it's going to look really weird. So, and Macs tend to have less software problems too. They have a really good screening process. Everything's kind of tight and there's not as many glitches with a Mac, plus not as many viruses with a Mac.
All the gaming stuff that's out now, Lord, I mean, we grew up with Pong and Pac-Man.
Yeah,
Pong
was my first game.
Different
I loved
thing.
It.
Now there's all kinds of games. I mean, are those...
Those are more PCs then.
Yeah.
So if you... And we do custom build PCs all the time. So if you come in with a budget, we'll make you a computer to whatever your budget is, like $1,000. And that sounds like a lot, but for a gaming PC, that's bottom of the line. We had a senior citizen buy a $7,000 gaming computer at the beginning of COVID. He says, you know what? I'm going to be locked in my house for a year. I'm going to have fun. We built him a $7,000 computer with three curved screens, and he's probably sitting in front of it right now enjoying life.
Jeez.
With like 32 gigs of memory, which I don't even know what he would do, but he enjoys the computer and wants that high-speed, instantaneous access with it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. I know you prepared a few specials for our listeners. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, I know you got listeners all over the United States, but we could still help people with stuff. You know, we're trying to just help people, no matter where you are in life or in the United States. So we try not to do the on-sites as much because of COVID and there's drive time.
Sure.
That's why we have to charge a trip charge. I mean, there's a lot of places in town. Their normal price for an on-site visit is $175 an hour. So we can't give away that for free. But there's a couple of things we could do if you bring in your computer. I know you got people all over the country. Maybe they can send in their computer. We'll do it for free. But, you know, we'll do a free diagnostic on your computer. That's usually only $40 if you bring it in. We'll just do that for free. You know, is my computer worth upgrading? Is it worth doing? Should I even have this computer anymore? It's 8 years old, but I've never used it. You know, we'll just kind of tell you that and do it all for free. It takes about 24 hours. We'll check your backup, your updates, and make sure you got an antivirus program, things like that. Or we'll give you $50 off a computer if you want to do that. You come in, we got a showroom of about 20 computers, some all-in-ones. You know, they're the ones that have the computer and the screen built into the same thing. We've got a whole bunch of desktops everywhere from $100 to $700. I'm not kidding. You could walk in and get a $100 desktop computer with a brand new $80 drive in there. Okay. Or we'll take $100 off our transfer. So if you get, if you already got a new computer, you feel more comfortable with that, bring it in. We'll move everything over. It'll be so awesome. And we'll take $100 off that.
Wow.
Just mention Haystack when you come in.
All right. We appreciate that. And once again, folks, this has just, their company has just been elected as one of the top three IT in the state. All right, Colorado Biz, best of Colorado. So you are dealing with a great company, and we've known Scott for years. He's worked with us, my wife and I, and forever and ever here on all of our computer needs. And I'm telling you, they are great, great people and easy to work with. Their number is 720-482-8383, and their store is located at 6446 East Hamden Avenue in Denver. That's a King Supers there, right?
Yeah, King Supers.
Right, King Supers, right in that parking lot as well. So real quick, you talked about the scams early on and all the virus protection. I mean, what's the best virus protection out right now?
The best ones are not the American ones. Okay, I know that's a weird thing to say, but the ones that everybody hears about, McAfee and Norton, we don't think are the best. They're really bloated. That means they're going to slow down your computer quite a bit when you use them. They have more things you need, like parental controls, keep track of your credit card, an additional firewall, a lot of stuff. So the ones that you hear that are outside of the country, we really recommend one called ESET, E-S-E-T. There's one called Kaspersky, which is a Russian thing that they think they're hackers and they're trying to get the United States secrets. So that's a conspiracy theory about that. But usually the ones that are built in Europe are the better ones, not the American ones.
Okay.
We like ESET, though, E-S-E-T.
All right. Give Scott a call. He will get you fixed up. And Scott, as always, we appreciate your knowledge and all you do for us, sir.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You as well. Scott Hinkey, On-Site Consulting, 720-482-8383. Have you been thinking about a new pair of glasses? Maybe some prescription sunglasses? Well, look no further than Stack Optical. Since 1968, yes, you heard me right, since 1968, Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality ocular care for their patients. This family-owned business is proud to be one of the few optical offices that has their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Stack Optical, located at 2233 South Monaco Parkway, features the most extensive lines of eyeglass frames, sunglasses, and contact lenses to ensure that you love your appearance and experience superior comfort. Our comprehensive eye exams proactively diagnose eye conditions and diseases while providing the most accurate vision care. We welcome you to experience a lifetime of superior ocular care from doctors that are devoted to your eye health. Call now for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. At Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
At Flesh and Beck Law, your attorney sets you at ease from the first meeting so you have the space to think clearly. After an injury, you immediately start worrying about how you will afford the healing process. You start thinking about insurance deductibles, physical therapy appointments, vehicle repairs, and how to pay for rent in the meantime. Listening to one calm, qualified voice throughout the process will help you think rationally instead of making decisions based on anxiety. Call Flesh and Beck Law for a free, no-obligation consultation, and you will talk to a lawyer right away, not some legal assistant who just wants to find out how much money your case might be worth. Then, once you and your attorney both decide to move forward with your case, you will continue working with that attorney the whole time. The same person who meets you for a consultation will also sit beside you in court. Eliminate the fear of the unknown. Call Flesh and Beck Law at 303-806-8886.
For years now, you've heard me talk about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and yes, for almost 20 years, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has been taking care of our pets. From medical, grooming, boarding, and even training, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is your one stop for all of your pet's needs. Not only is their facility state-of-the-art, but now you can download the free Lone Tree Vet app and visit their online store for your pet products and pharmacy needs. You can also have your very own Home Pet Portal. Plus, don't forget to read their blogs at LawnTreeVet.com. Do you take your dog on hikes? Check out Hiking the Trail Safely with Your Dog. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe all pets deserve to have a good life. Call today, 303-708-8050, or check them out, LoneTreeVet.com.
This is 560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome to Protect Your Legacy. My name is Scott Watley, and we are glad you are with us. Our show is brought to you by Blake Harris Law. You can check out that website, BlakeHarrisLaw.com, and the phone number, 833-ASK-BLAKE. And it's always good to have attorney Blake Harris with us. Blake, how are you, sir?
Scott, great to be back on the show. Everything is going very well. How are you today?
I am doing well, and it is always good to have you on with us. I tell you, boy, as we go through all these time last year and a half, boy, it seems like this matter of just being prepared for what you don't know is might happen is very, very important. And that's what estate plans is all about a little bit. So let's kind of talk about that and just the need for creating an estate plan. So if somebody just says, hey, you know, why do I need one? I'm married. My wife can handle my stuff, or my kids can handle my stuff. Why do I need an estate plan?
Sure. Well, first of all, Scott, the estate plan, it's not for you. It's for your family. There's really not too much in the estate plan it can do directly for you, but there's a lot it can do for your family. There are some things an estate plan can do for you, protect your property from lawsuits, and we can talk about that a little bit more in a few moments. But what it can do is it can make life a lot easier on your wife, on your husband, on your children, in the event that you become incapacitated or pass away. So there's a few main things that an estate plan can do. Number one, an estate plan can help you to avoid probate. I'm going to take a few minutes and talk about probate because it's very important to understand what probate is. And it's an issue that we help clients with as well. We help clients create estate plans, and we help clients administer estate plans. And when somebody comes into my office to create an estate plan, well, actually, I'm going to flip that around. When somebody comes to my office for looking for help with probate, I know in all likeliness that fee is going to be a lot higher than a client who comes in just looking to create an estate plan. And I like to give my clients a good value, and they are going to get a better result. It's going to be a better result for the family if they plan ahead. So probate, it's a court process for distributing assets after an individual passes away. Probate's not a quick process. It can take 1 to 2 years, and it can be a very expensive process in some situations. Sometimes probate goes very smoothly. Sometimes it becomes a very expensive and time-consuming process. So we want to avoid probate because it's a public process, time-consuming, it's costly, and stopping the time when family fights break out. Nobody wants to leave their money to their family and watch their family or have their family end up fighting over it. Some clients want to leave money to friends. Some people want to leave it to family. Some want to leave it to a charity. Nobody's ever said, I want a bunch of attorneys to take my money as they fight over it. I'm still waiting for that one client to come in. So number one is avoiding family fights and avoiding probate. But also very important reason to create an estate plan is giving protection to your beneficiaries. Okay. And there's a few different types of beneficiaries who we'd want to protect. The first are minor beneficiaries. So we want to, number one, for anyone who has children under the age of 18, create a guardianship designation so that the individual you've selected can step in as the legal parent for any minor children. But we also want to make sure that children don't spend through their inheritance too quickly. And the way we do this is we set up a trust for the children. So upon the children reaching a certain age, we can let them step in and control their trust. But prior to the age of 25, 30, 35, whatever age the individual are comfortable with, your children can then step in. Prior to that age, you can have another family member manage money on behalf of your children so that your children don't spend through the money too quickly, don't go and blow it all in Vegas the day they turn 18.
Sure.
we also want to make sure that the money stays protected from somebody else taking it away from your children. You could have very responsible children, but if they marry somebody who is not responsible, or if they marry somebody who ends up filing for divorce, you don't want to leave your money to your former in-law. My saying is you should love your son-in-law, love your daughter-in-law, but keep the money in the blood. Right. And a properly drafted estate plan can help you do just that. There's also a whole other component of estate planning, which is incapacity planning. Did you have any questions before I switch gears from the trust to the incapacity planning? Do you have anything else? Did I miss anything on the trust portion, Scott?
Well, you didn't miss anything, but just one question. Let's say a family has, you know, three kids. So is that trust for the children? Is that in one document and you name the three kids, or is that a trust individual document for each child?
Good question. Sometimes clients will come in and say, I've got three children, so I think I should create three trusts. The oldest is doing everything right. We're just going to give the money to her as soon as we pass away. The second one is has some addiction issues. We don't want them to ever receive their inheritance, maybe somebody to give them some money to help them along the way. And the third one has a disability, and we need to plan for that. So should we create three trusts? And generally, the answer is no. And so in some cases, multiple trusts make sense. You can have multiple different trusts. You can only have one will, but you can have multiple different trusts.
Okay.
And the way that we would design it for that family, the one I just gave an example of, is you would create one, you would sign one trust document. And then that trust document would split into three different documents after you pass away. So that same piece of paper that you signed, that same stack of paper, would be used to govern how the trust is distributed to the oldest child, how money is held in trust for the child who has some addiction issues, and it would also govern how money is held in trust for the third child who has some special needs. For the first child, you want to leave money outright to, I would still say leave it in trust. Let your child be the trustee. Let your child manage the trust or select their trustee. Give them pretty liberal access or a lot of latitude in managing the trust. But don't just pour everything into their pocket, because then they become a target for creditors, a target for lawsuits. Yes, they may be financially responsible right now, but anybody could have a business deal that goes wrong. Being able to leave somebody a protected inheritance is a very special gift. It's an extra bow that you can wrap around someone's inheritance. It's an extra way to make sure that money stays in the family much longer.
Okay.
For a child with addiction issues, you certainly don't want to leave them money and have them blow through the money fueling their addiction. Most of us, our life tends to get better as we get more money. Somebody who's addicted to drugs or alcohol, actually, the more money they have, the more they hurt themselves. Some people will completely cut that child out of the inheritance, which is not really what I will recommend in many circumstances, because anybody does have the ability to get clean, and if they do, then leaving them some of their inheritance or letting them enjoy their inheritance is wise, as is fair and wise as well. So for a child who maybe has addiction issues, what I'd recommend doing is letting another family member, friend, or professional trustee manage the trust on behalf of your child, and just require the distributions not be made if the child is currently using drugs, if they can't pass a drug test. And the parents can design in there what they consider appropriate behavior for the children to receive distributions, or what type of substances the parents are particularly concerned about keeping their child safe from. And then for the third child, the child with a disability, what you're going to want to include in your trust is a special needs trust, or a standby special needs trust for any beneficiary, because all of us could have a child or grandchild that becomes disabled. And by having a special needs trust in there, what the trust will do is allow that beneficiary to qualify for government benefits. So your child can still receive government assistance, but the trust does not, the trust still is able to support the child. Without a special needs trust, if you leave money to your child, they're going to have to do a spend down. They're going to have to spend through all of that money prior to receiving any additional government inheritance. Mm-hmm. It makes all of the difference in the world if you have a child or grandchild with disability having a special needs trust in there. It's the difference between the child basically begging, living off the government forever, or the child being able to maintain their current standard of living, keep their inheritance, and still pass on and still receive help from the government along the way.
Okay. Now, real quick, before you, I think you were heading toward the incapacity side of this, which we can get to, but let's say, you know, you made your wife your beneficiary, and then, God forbid, you know, the husband and the wife are in an accident, and, you know, both something happens where, you know, they're incapacitated or deceased. Is there, in lack of a better term, a backup beneficiary if something happens to your original beneficiary? Do you list a couple people in case something happens like that?
Yes, I mean, yes, you can list as many alternatives as you want, and I generally recommend listing a few alternatives. So you'll want to have your spouse. I mean, typically people would choose their spouse as their primary, and then they'll choose their children as the alternative, and then they may even choose other beneficiaries as well in the very unfortunate event that they lose both their spouse and their children. Under those circumstances, you would have maybe a charitable organization or another family member or friend as the contingent beneficiary. So you've got your primary beneficiary, your alternative beneficiary, and your contingent beneficiary. Each one there in line, able to step in and take a portion of the inheritance that is left behind. So yes, successor beneficiaries make sense. And this now, Scott, is a perfect segue into talking about incapacity planning.
Okay, sure.
So when it comes to incapacity planning, there's a handful of documents that everybody should have, ages 18 or older, to plan for the possibility that they become incapacitated. The first document, which everyone should have, it's very simple to create and can be profoundly important if you lose capacity. So this is the situation that you're hospitalized, or you're out of the country, or you go missing, or you end up in the pokey for an evening. What you want to do is have a complete set of incapacity documents available. And the first one is the financial power of attorney. Financial power of attorney is a document which allows an individual you have selected to make a financial decision on your behalf in the event that you are not able to manage your own financial affairs. I get calls from typically adult children, maybe in their 50s, saying that their mother or their father has lost capacity or has started to lose capacity. And my first question for them is always, do they have a financial power of attorney? And if the answer is yes, I say, well, that's good news. And if the answer is no, I say, well, there's some tough news, which is your family is going to need to go through a court-supervised conservatorship process. A power of attorney, if you go to an attorney and a law firm and say, create me a power of attorney, they might charge a couple hundred bucks for it.
Okay.
If you're creating an estate plan, they'll probably just include the power of attorney at no additional charge. If you don't have a power of attorney and you lose capacity, your family has to go through a conservatorship proceeding, which is going to take several months and cost $5,000. Or, I mean, the prices range, but on average, you can expect to spend thousands of dollars to get a conservator appointed, which can easily be avoided just by signing a power of attorney. There's no better bang for your buck than setting up a financial power of attorney. You should, typically what clients will do is name their spouse as the primary, and then as an alternative power of attorney, they'll name children or other family members. So going back to your question, successor beneficiaries are wise to have. It's also very wise to have successor. It's also wise to have successor agents that can act on your behalf in the event that your primary agent is not able to step in and take over your financial affairs as you had originally hoped or planned for.
Okay. Once again, you're listening to Protect Your Legacy. Attorney Blake Harris is our guest. BlakeHarrisLaw.com, 833-ASK-BLAKE is the number. And if you're just getting in the car or turn on the radio, we are going through reasons why you need to have an estate plan. And it is always a free consultation with Blake. So go ahead, Blake.
So after you have your financial power of attorney, or when you create your financial power of attorney, there's also a few other documents which you should look into creating as well. This includes a medical power of attorney for making medical decisions, a HIPAA authorization. HIPAA is a federal law which protects the privacy of your health care. In the event that you become incapacitated, you want your agents to be able to access that protected information and share it with doctors so that they can make informed medical decisions. And then finally, a living will or an advanced health care directive, which says that if you are in a permanent vegetated state, that you want to have life support removed. If you don't want to be kept on a ventilator indefinitely, it's important that you have a living will in place as well. So just to recap, there are four documents that you should have to plan for your incapacity. The first one is your financial power of attorney. Next is your medical power of attorney. And finally, your HIPAA authorization and your living will.
Yeah, Blake, that's great information. And, you know, as we have seen, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, over this last year and a half, I mean, life can change in an instant. And, boy, the phone calls that I'm sure you hate to get are the ones where it's done that, and they had been planning on calling you but haven't done it yet.
Yes. So often there's a family member who drags their feet, and I'm not going to pick on any particular family member, but dad, who is slower to get their estate planning done. Another way that your life can change in a moment, other than becoming incapacitated or passing away, is a lawsuit. We live in the world's most litigious society. There are literally thousands of lawsuits filed every single day, millions of lawsuits filed every single year. I think around 10 to 15 million lawsuits filed per year in the United States. You can create a trust, not every trust, but there are certain types of trust out there which you can create that in the event of a lawsuit, you will be able to maintain and keep your assets. This type of trust I refer to as an asset protection trust. So with a properly structured asset protection trust, you're still going to be able to keep control of your assets, but in the event that somebody's trying to take them away from you, it's going to be very hard or impossible for them to take your assets away from you. This is another situation where I've definitely helped clients with the pre-planning, and that's my favorite situation. Client comes in water smooth. They're a business owner, and perhaps they own some real estate or some cryptocurrency investments, and we put together a trust for them. The lawsuit later arises, and everything is peachy because all the work, all the planning was done well in advance of the lawsuit. The call that I don't like to get as much, or that is not as fun for anyone, is the individual says, you know, Blake, I'd heard your ad before. I'd seen you on TikTok, which, by the way, if you don't follow me on TikTok, Blake Harris Law, I've got close to quarter million followers who get plenty of estate planning advice, some advice on cryptocurrency, and some humor as well. What I can offer, but the call that I get sometimes not as fun is, hey, I didn't create an estate plan. I did not create a trust, and now I've already been sued. At that point in time, the amount of protection that we can offer the client is very much compromised, which is why it's, as I say often, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of the cure. Having your estate plan done, having a trust set up before the threat of any lawsuit can make all the difference in the world of being able to sleep better at night, knowing that your assets are secured in the event that they are ever threatened.
Absolutely. All right, let's go through a couple of things here. Let's go through the process. So someone hears you today, they give you a call at 833-ASK-BLAKE. What would be the process then for them to go through? And then if you don't mind, I want to get into some pricing here just to give people, and I realize there's many different plans and you know, depending on the complications of those and all those, but let's talk about the process a little bit. Someone calls you today.
Sure. So since that March of last year, I don't know if you heard, but some things have changed since March of last year. And if you haven't heard, congratulations.
Yeah. No doubt.
Whatever you're doing. Anyways, yeah, I'm getting a little bit off subject. we've been doing a lot more electronic meetings.
So right.
Zoom. We're doing a lot of Zoom calls. We're doing phone calls. We still have beautiful office space in downtown Denver, and if clients would prefer to meet in person, we can certainly accommodate to that. But the majority of our clients are enjoying completing the entire estate plan, enjoying completing the entire process without leaving the comfort of their own home. We start off with the phone. You'll contact our firm. We'll get you scheduled for an initial consult over phone or Zoom within a few days. And then we will, at the end of that initial meeting, we'll be able to quote you a price for the creation of your estate plan. As far as the rates for our estate plans are concerned, we are competitively priced, typically just a few $1,000s for an estate plan. So you're not looking to spend tens of thousands of dollars, but it is more than a few $100s. We are professional neurologists. I do have extensive experience in this area. And so with that, you get the utmost peace of mind. There's plenty of options for creating an estate plan, from firms that try to do a little bit of everything to even online and do it yourself options. But by working with somebody who specializes in estate planning, and this has been the primary focus of my entire career, and I've been an attorney now for over a decade, you get the utmost peace of mind to know that you've done everything you can to plan for your family. You do get upfront pricing, so clients know exactly what they're getting into. They're not surprised by additional bills that pop up down the road.
Okay.
That's the pricing for the basic estate plan. An individual may spend around $1,800, $2,000 for an individual estate plan. A couple may spend around $3,000 as an average for a joint estate plan. Depending on what type of assets you own and other things that could arise, the prices may be a little bit more or a little bit less. But we'll always, at the end of the pre-consultation, be able to give you a price quote, not just an estimate, but a price quote, so you know exactly what you're getting into when you create your estate plan. Now, if a client is looking to do some more advanced planning, they have a taxable estate, or they want to do some asset protection planning, then the price for that tends to run right around $15,000 if you want to set up a trust that's going to keep you protected from lawsuits. So again, we do competitive pricing, always a pre-initial consultation, and clients know exactly what they're getting into when they work with my law firm.
No, that's great. You know, I want to challenge everyone really to go to BlakeHarrisLaw.com and just read the reviews. And Blake, you know, what we constantly hear, and the folks that have even come on the radio that, you know, I've talked with and everything, they just, man, they said it was such a relief to get it done, number one, yes, but also just to feel like they had someone that, you know, this is what their practice really, really focused on, and they left, they feeling like they had a complete plan and no stone was left unturned, because many times, you know, if we just try to maybe do something on our own, which there are a lot of forms out there today for do-it-yourself things, but, you know, you're going to ask us questions and make us think about things and scenarios that we may never think about. And so, you know, some folks I've talked to just appreciated the completeness of what they felt like that your plan gives.
Yes. I mean, going back to your question at the very beginning, what's in it for me? And I kind of made the joke about, you know, Scott, it's not just about you sometimes. but really, it is your money. It is your plan. But most of all, it's your peace of mind. And that's what we are ultimately giving. And I don't know that there's any way to get better peace of mind and work with somebody who is really focused in on this area of the law.
Right. Two or three minutes left here, but if you don't mind, let's end up on, you mentioned the cryptocurrency side of your practice and all, so let's just touch on that a little bit, and maybe our next show we can delve into that a little bit more, because that is something a lot more people are coming aware of, but need some education on it as well. So how do you deal with that in an estate plan?
Sure. It's something that a few years ago, a client of mine owned a little bit of Bitcoin and had some questions for me about it. And I really wasn't very familiar with it, but being kind of a curious guy, I started digging down the cryptocurrency rabbit hole, and it's since grown into an area that I've taught continuing education on, taught other people how to buy crypto, and I often get asked for my investment recommendations. I'm not an investment advisor. I'm not going to recommend any particular crypto, but I will say that it is something that I am invested in. It's probably the biggest place of where I've kept my investments, and it's definitely something you want to consider when you create your estate plan. How are you going to transfer those assets? And there's a few different ways to transfer your crypto when you pass away, but it's something that you do want to take into consideration when you create your estate, when you create your estate plan, so that number one, it doesn't get lost. Number two, it doesn't get probated. Number three, if you have a sizable holding, perhaps you should set it up inside of an asset protection trust, because in the event of a lawsuit, you could absolutely be ordered to hand over your crypto, and you want to make sure that that's not going to happen. So if you have cryptocurrency, or you're interested in working on some type of crypto business, or perhaps setting up a crypto ATM at your store, my firm can certainly help with that. Our primary focuses nowadays are estate planning, asset protection, and cryptocurrency. So if you're not already tuned, if you are tuned in, we can help with that. If you're not already tuned in, feel free to go to my website. There's a lot of information on cryptocurrency about there, or follow me on TikTok or on Instagram, Blake Harris Law. Scott, why don't we wrap up by telling people the phone number that they can call?
All right, let's do that, Blake. It's 833-ASK-BLAKE, 833-ASK-BLAKE, and that breaks down to 275-2525. It is BlakeHarrisLaw.com, and one thing I will mention, Blake also offers free lifetime reviews when you do an estate plan with him. So, folks, I'm telling you, this is why, you know, we certainly chose Blake to be our estate planning attorney here for our show, and thankfully he chose us as well to represent him, but he will do you a good job, and don't put this off. This is one of the best things you could do for your family, to have an estate plan, and it will be a great help to them down the road. So, Blake, as always, we appreciate your time, sir, and look forward to our next conversation.
Scott, it's my pleasure. Always fun being on the show. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, sir. That is Blake Harris, BlakeHarrisLaw.com, 833-ASK-BLAKE. Give him a call today.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.